Hey guys, welcome back to the Staying Christian podcast, or welcome for the first time if you've never been here before. My name's Eli Chamley, and this is my fabulous co-host, Gavin Hobbs. He would not say he's fabulous, but I would say he's a pretty good one. He does most of the heavy lifting around here.
Meh. You've been taking it up recently. He's been doing more of the editing lately, so it's been decent.
Yeah, I was pretty sick last week, and he took over for that, so yep. I'm actually being grateful. This is called gratefulness and humility, and this is
all traits, all fruits of the spirit.
Can you see, you know, how good it is and how great I am for doing it? Anyways, that was a joke, by the way. Thank you for being here. On this podcast, we like to talk about God together, and we usually just talk about stuff we've noticed or whatever, but we're going to be changing that soon. What? We're going to be talking about more stuff, believe it or not. But
more stuff, what?
You guys are being original. We're gonna try. It's hard. Yeah. Hard work, but yep. We're gonna try. But anyway, what we've done in the past is talked about our past experiences, staying Christians together, and what we've learned along the way, and all that jazz. So thanks for joining us. Hopefully that wasn't such an intro that would make you leave, but it's okay. If you don't want to listen to us, then that's fine. We know we're weird. We just know.
Yep. Welcome to the Staying Christian podcast. I was thinking a lot lately, and something kind of, not a realization, let's be honest, this is a common, everyone knows this, but I realized, I'm like, nothing is really completely sure. You know, nothing's 100%. You know, in science, there's always like, it's 99.99%, you know, nothing's actually all the way precise, you know, like we define quote precise, but it's not really all the way there. And it just got me thinking, I was like, okay, nothing's really sure. Nothing is sure. You know, you can't trust people. End of story, right? Like if you really,
bring it down,
you can trust people to not be trustworthy, right? Like they will always fail you. And I know some people are like,
eventually they'll fail you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, push comes to shove, always end of the line. Usually, in some way, form, or fashion, people will fail you. Everything fails. You know, we live in a fallen world.
Yes.
Right.
Uh huh. Indeed.
And I was just thinking about that, and I was like, I know this is probably really cheesy, but like the only thing that is 100% sure is God.
Yeah.
In that sense, you know?
Yeah.
Like I know some people will be like, okay, but like, is he even sure? Is Jesus actually
alive? I mean, yeah,
alive?
I can think of scenarios where people would go, oh, God didn't deliver on this for me, you know?
Right.
And that's a pretty valid thing to say, but then again, he is the authority.
Case, yeah, exactly. If everything that he says is true, then he's the only thing that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And even if you say, God, I thought you would do this, who's to say that you can control him? You know?
Yeah, true.
You know, like he's the creator of you. He's the creator of the universe. You know, like he said in Job, like he's like, who are you? You know, were you there when I was creating the alligator?
Yeah.
I think not, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. It's just something I was really thinking about. I was like, guys, this is the only thing that is 100% sure is God. If everything he says is true,
yeah,
then this is the only thing that's 100%.
Actually, everything humans do is boiled down to trusting an authority, and what they believe as authority is what they're trusting in. So if they believe scientific papers are authority, they're going to trust that we live in a solar system.
Right. Or, but like, we also believe that everything revolved around us at one point too, you know?
Yeah.
So science is ever changing, and that's where God steps in, and God doesn't change in that sense. I mean, there are instances in which he does change, like he actually will change his mind, which is very interesting. That's a whole nother subject that you can delve into. But like, in the sense of he always says, I am with you, I am with you. He says that so much in the Bible. He is 100%, you know? He's sure.
So I take some time and I listen to other podcasts because, man, I'm just so great. I'm just so good at doing stuff like that. I'm just so good at reaching outside my circle
and
absorbing new information.
New information.
And not getting in an echo chamber. Man, I'm so good at that. Like, you have no idea.
Glad we established this.
Anyway. No, I'm joking around. But anyway, I started listening to some episodes from Mike Donahue's podcast, Chasing the Beauty, which, did you ever listen to the episode I sent you?
Nope.
Gave
and
gave.
Because I like the echo chamber. You know, I really, it's nice and quiet. And then when I say something, it just goes,
man, a shame. anyway, I was listening to his episode 11, where he had John Steingard on. Do you know who John Steingard is?
Not a clue.
John Steingard is the lead singer from Hawk Nelson, who announced in 2020 that he no longer believed in God.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and he made
no idea.
big waves in music and like just news in general.
Really?
He didn't realize it would be a big such thing. And like music companies had a meeting like, do we stop playing Hawk Nelson now? It was a big deal.
Wow.
He had him on not to like, hey, now that you're on my podcast, what the heck's the matter with you? But they're close friends. And he brought him on to talk about, you know, the circumstances surrounding that. And basically asked the question, what do we do when our friends stop believing in God? Like, and is it right to just, you know, distance ourselves and be like, I hope he finds Jesus and I hope whatever, you know? And he was asking a serious question, and he left it open-ended, which I thought was something interesting, because it was like, hey, church, what do we do with this? You know, instead of, here's what we need to do, and you guys need to get your act together, you know? And while I think personally some things about that, like we should definitely be reaching out and trying to encourage, not like, hey, you need to do this to the person, but whatever. That's all beside the point, because that's not what I even want to talk about. What? What I want to talk about was something that John Steingard actually said. What he was saying was he started going through the motions about, what do I actually believe? And then at one point he was like, I don't know that I actually believe in God right now. And so when he vocalized that, everyone was like, and freaking out about it.
What the crap, you guys?
Yeah.
What?
But,
seriously?
He didn't mention specifics about what he currently believes, which I think is fine. I don't think we need to be focused on John Steingard finding out everything he believes in, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Poor little. Yeah, we need to be worried about John
Steingard. I need to be so worried. But what he was talking about, the biggest thing that he was looking at, and he called it deconstructionism or something like that, where you take a very hard look at different points of what you believe and finding out if it's just tradition that made you believe that or whatever, or if it's something you actually believe based on facts and all that. And well, I think that's fine. I think, and he mentions this, is like, we all kind of do that with everything we believe continually. And if you're not, then you're not really trying to improve your life.
So this is what John Steingard was saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so it was never established that John Steingard necessarily believed in God again. It's just, for all we know, he's still
sort of,
what's the word? Not atheist, that in between.
Agnostic?
Agnostic, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly where he's at. I don't know that it matters that much and that I need to waste my time worrying about it.
Right. Well, I'm just wondering the context in which they were talking. Because I know, what's his name? Guy from 10th Avenue North.
Mike Donahue.
Mm-hmm. He is a Christian still.
Yeah, definitely does.
Quote, believes in God.
Yeah.
You know? He just had him on just to purely talk about this and kind of
talk about everything that happened with him, and then kind of off of that, he was like, all right, so do you think I should have been, you know, questioning him on what he believes more, or what do you guys think I should be doing?
Okay, that makes
because
more sense.
Because he was like, well, I don't think I should have been, well, let's compare. What do you think? And, you know, and he was trying to just, you know, encourage him to keep looking, and, you know, because Mike's very founded in what he believes.
Right.
You know? And anyway, so John Steingard was talking about, you know, taking a critical look at things you believe and finding out if they're just from somewhere else or actually what, you know, you believe is true. And something he said kind of struck me about God, because he was talking about some of the things that we project onto God. And we've mentioned this before, where you kind of project, like, okay, God's like this.
Sure. Yeah.
And whereas there are verses like, we are made in the image of God, but in our mind, we're like, what does that mean? Does that mean our faces look like what God's face looked like? Does mm-hmm. that mean our bodies are like the same thing?
Right, right.
Which I don't think I'll ever know the answer until eternity.
Right.
But all that to say, I definitely think that we've built an identity of God outside of what he says he is in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we believe that and gravitate towards that instead of who God actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was taking note of that and realizing that John Steingart actually had a good point on that. And that's not to say, oh, he can't have a good point because he doesn't know what he believes. But, like, you know, I thought that that thought process was actually going to lead him to who God is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just whatever some Christians want him to believe. Instead, it's going to be actually finding for himself where God is, because he's not going to sit still with just that. He's going to be like, all right, let's find out what it actually is. I want to know what it actually means, who God really is, you know? And I know I can do this all the time with God, like, oh, he's doing this, or Jesus was like this. And then I actually read and he's like, oh, he did not say that. I messed that up and I need to take a good look at that and stop projecting who I think God is. And God's just in my corner, you know? So...
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of encouraging to me, and also an important lesson for me to remember that I can build an identity in my head of who God is outside of what he said he is, and I really need to be looking for him outside of... not to take it
outside of your echo chamber,
outside of my echo chamber. Well, I'm also saying this because enough times on this podcast, I have said, you know, God isn't like that, or God is like that. And, you know, and I don't want to just be saying things that may or may not be true based on my projection of who God is. I want
right.
who God actually is to shine through.
Yep.
And not just be a bunch of ideas I have that God, that seems like that's what God is.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was kind of long-winded, and I talked a lot about Mike Donaghy instead of my point, but I don't know. Reminders for me, for you as well.
Okay, so I actually have something kind of like, I don't even know how to classify it, so I'm just going to try to kind of explain it to you guys.
We have the most unconventional segments every time, and I'm sorry, we are just not categorizing them. And I hope that's fine. I hope you're okay with that, because we're okay with
it. It's really just Eli and Gavin on planet Earth. What happens next? We recently came down here to the Outpost, this little studio space, with a bunch of guys, and we sang some songs together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm mentioning this is because I think you guys should do it too. And the reason why I think this is because recently our church has kind of stopped meeting. And I don't even know, like, there's kind of like, what's going on? Is this a church? There's just all that sort of stuff right now. And I've kind of been like, and the other brothers, you, I feel like, included. I don't know. I'm not gonna project it onto you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Don't project your ideals onto your identity of me in your brain.
I do know some of my roommates have been, or flatmates, I guess, have been like, we need to get together and, like, actually sing as, like, men. And, like, there's some sort of unity, like, some bond that forms. Like, you can feel God in the room in those times, you know? And a lot of times, like, I mean, God did call us to praise him, mm-hmm. you know, and I was listening recently to the Brant Cherry Oddcast, and they were like, but why does God want us to praise him? You know, mm-hmm. like, but why? And it's also one of the reasons they mentioned was to remind ourselves he is a good, good father. You know, mm-hmm. he is a good, good father. It's who he is. You know, and for some reason in the human neurological brain, when we repeat things over and over, we start to believe them, you know? So it's good to, like, if someone continues to show the same ad over and over, eventually we'll start to believe that ad. We'll start to, like, that's kind of the idea, I think, behind chanting. Hmm. You repeat it enough, you start to believe it.
Yeah.
So if we take the things that are really true and repeat those, then we start to internalize that a lot better. So anyways, not to say that I'm 100% for repeating songs repetitive, because I actually hate repetitive songs, but it was really good. We got together, actually a buddy of mine and myself, one of my flatmates, we went up to my room and sang, and I croaked out some chords on my guitar. It was the first week, like 2 weeks ago, because we were really wanting to get together.
Yeah.
And it was really good. Like it felt like God had blessed it. You know, even though him and I were probably singing off key and I was barely getting the chords right because I was so rusty on the guitar. And then I was like, Eli, please come. So we also got another couple of guys invited as well. And we all just sat down here and sang. And it was just really good. Like for some reason, you felt kind of full of the spirit mm-hmm. afterwards. So mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say aside from that it felt good. You know, like when God said he created man and it was good. I'm sure I don't know what that feeling was like, but like maybe it was something. Yeah. So maybe it was a taste of that. I don't know how to end that segment, except you guys should give it a shot because I tasted and it was good. And maybe you will as well. If you don't, email us, let us know. Send us a video of you guys screaming at us.
Your advice was horrible. I tried making a joyful noise and nothing came out.
Instead of this croaking came out.
God actually shut my mouth. He said to me, it was so bad. Please never open it again. So I wanted to do like a three things segment. This is blatantly stolen. And this is stolen like in the worst way. I stole this whole format.
Yeah, although, we really do need to come up with some of our own original stuff. This is really lame.
Yeah.
You're lame is what I'm trying to say.
I feel bad. But no, I just happened to come up with three different things that make me believe God is real. Hmm. And, you know, there's plenty of things that I could say. I could do eight things, you know, that make me believe God is real. But, you know, some of them are only for me and whatever. But I thought I'd talk about them real quick in sort of a quick fire fashion, like Brant Hansen does with his Brant's Three Things segment.
Oh, snap.
But this is not Eli's Three Things. This is three things that make me believe in God. So the first one, this is going to sound weird, but I was listening to a Tom Scott video. Do you know who Tom Scott is? He's like this British guy who talks about science things. And he talks about like interesting things you may not know or things about science or whatever. And he had this interesting video about this place in England that has their own life support for fish, and how if they didn't have their life support for, it's like an aquarium where they study effects on fish and whatever. And so like they filter the water through sand and algae removers and like whatever to put fresh water back in. It takes like 24 hours for that water to go through that whole filtration cycle. So they have a whole life support system for fish. And he's like, said like if there's like one breach or something wrong with it, it would be like a spaceship having a breach and, you know, potentially killing all the astronauts inside, but for the fish in the aquarium. And I was thinking to myself, if we're barely able to create life support for ourselves in space and for fish, how do we really think that it's just chance that we have the perfect life support here
on Earth?
Right. And that kind of like on me. And I read another fact about this, like how Earth protects us. And I've already mentioned like the magnetosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
Reflecting.
Like harmful rays from the sun.
Yeah, like colossal mass ejections from the sun.
Yeah.
They'll reflect it into the aurora borealis.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's pretty. That's so neat. But the atmosphere keeps out all harmful light wavelengths except visible light. All the harmful ones. So like the gamma rays, the X rays, we still get UVs.
Right. I was going to say we still get UV rays.
But like all except that, they're just reflected. So that's the first thing, is that we have a perfect habitat. Absolutely yeah. Perfect habitat. The second thing is I've personally seen people healed from their afflictions and, you know, problems and real answers to prayers in ways that I would never have dreamt of. Like, if I was going to answer that person's prayer, I would have been like, oh, here's the one thing you asked for and that you need. But instead, they end up getting a wonderful story about how God came through and fixed all the problems in a line with one thing, like, just a little bit later. I would have said, oh, that was like almost too late to give them the thing they needed. Mm-hmm. But it's right in time for God.
Yep.
And I've seen that happen. So that's the second thing.
Well, you've actually, I wasn't there at that particular meeting, but you've actually kind of witnessed a dude get healed, mm-hmm. right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this guy had cancer.
Yeah.
And he was going in for a colonoscopy or something the next day.
Well, they were going to do surgery
to remove it.
To remove the cancer. And they knew the cancer was there.
Right. They had already gone in and like taken a sample mm-hmm. or something, right?
Yeah. But they were going to remove the entire bit of his body where the cancer was. And we were like, okay, that sounds horrible. We would like that to not happen to you and to you not be in a wheelchair. And so I think it was at a meeting with all the men here, and we all laid hands on him. And the next day he went in, they were going to do the surgery, and they're like, there's nothing here for us to remove.
Yeah.
It was gone. Yeah. And I'm like, that's
something.
We called on Jesus' name and Jesus healed him.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
So not to just brush over these as though they're nothing.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to kind of delve into that one a little deeper, cause that's an actual real life example that I've heard. And at least for me, I don't really see a whole lot of those miracles.
Yeah.
I never really experienced many of those.
I've heard of some, but yeah. Like then I'm just trusting the authority of whoever told
right,
me that.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
And there were a lot of witnesses for this one. So this was pretty cool.
Yeah. The third thing for me, this is me personally, the very fact that we can think, communicate, and have moral systems is proof of God to me. Science can't prove how consciousness exists, and I think therein lies God that cannot be proven. And I have theories about God built the universe and is not in the universe. He's outside of it. And one of my theories is, in my brain is that God is the universe. And like, you know, okay, so hear me out on this. This is a short rabbit trail.
This is Eli's space thoughts.
But if you take a very close look at how cells and nuclei work,
mm-hmm.
and molecules and nuclei and how they orbit each other and how they connect.
Sure.
They're very close looking to star systems.
Yeah.
Very close looking. And, you know, of course there's differences because they're small and big, like micro and macro, but that's super cool to me, the similarities.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere in a recent space article that like space, if you zoom out enough, it mm-hmm. looks like a working neuron brain system.
Yeah. It does. If you look at the observable universe map, it looks like a map of neurons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's many things that convince me of this. You know, this, the consciousness exists. We can't prove it. Like, we've done several brain studies. It's like, okay, consciousness, what is it? But God said that it was him breathing life into us. You know, mm-hmm. we can't prove that animals have consciousness apart from waking.
Right.
You know, we can't prove that mentally. And I think the fact that we even have the power to communicate ideas, like your dog, mm-hmm. you can tell your dog to do something and it will understand your tone of voice and do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that that can happen, the fact that physical beings can exist, blows my mind. Because
mm-hmm.
firstly, without us as an example, there's no way I would even be able to creatively make that up in my head.
Right.
It's just not. Any fantasy book you read, any science fiction book you read, it's all has humans as the blueprint for that alien civilization or that other society. No matter how different they look, they yeah. always have some kind of human trait,
right.
human or animal trait that we know of.
Yeah.
And there's nothing completely unexplained.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know, the fact that we are even here. I think that's proof of God to me. And we can trust scientific authority and, you know, whatever. But, you know, some people say they can't trust the Bible because it was written by man. But you can't trust scientific theory then because that's written by man.
Right.
You know? I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that make me believe in God.
Yeah.
And it would be hard for me to be like, oh, you know what? God didn't pull through on this one for me. I'm going to decide not to serve him anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not trying to shame anybody out of whatever, but I'm just saying these things convince me so much and just leave me in awe of who God is. And even though I don't know exactly who God is, I think that is just amazing.
Okay, so this is the ACT segment. If you haven't heard of the segment, this is a segment where we kind of break down. We're going chapter by chapter through ACTS. Mm-hmm. I'm by no means certified to do this at all. Like, honestly, I don't even know why I'm doing it, except for the fact that I want to understand what the church looked like back then. And kind of wanted to bring that to you guys as well. Kind of share maybe what I'm getting out of it. So this next, we are in Acts 9, and this is all about Saul's transformation into Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because in the first part of this, I'm reading in the New King James Version, the Lord basically blinds him. A blinding light comes down from heaven. He's on his way to Damascus, right?
Jesus specifically blinds him.
Right.
Because when he asks, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus.
He says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But this is interesting, this thing that he says. He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And you're like, okay, what the heck does kick against the goads mean? And I looked this up, and it essentially means it's basically resistance. It's ignorance. It's just like stubbornness is essentially what it is. And so Jesus is essentially like, what the heck, man? Like, you just don't get this, do you? You just keep going after me. And anyways, he trembled, it says here. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, he says, arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. And if you read this chapter, you know what happens. You've got that other dude. I don't remember.
Ananias.
Mm-hmm. Goes.
The infamous Ananias.
And baptizes Saul, you know, first pulls off the scales off of his eyes.
Yep.
But what's interesting about that is, too, Ananias is like, when God tells him to go see Saul, he's still Saul in this case, he's like, are you serious, God? Like, know who you're asking me to go see, right?
I've heard many reports about this man.
This is the guy that persecutes and wants to take me into jail, you know, not kill me, but take me into jail. Of course, he did stand by as they stoned Stephen. He was the guy that they put their coats at the feet of.
Yeah, Saul.
After they stoned him.
And the next chapter was, and Saul was pleased.
Right.
As he watched.
Yeah. Did Saul say he was pleased?
Saul approved of their killing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, this all happens. And then in the same chapter, like, it gets right to work. Saul begins preaching like crazy.
Well, you know? He preaches a bunch in Damascus. It says fearlessly preached in the name of Jesus. And then when he came to, Where was it?
Oh, no.
It was close. It was to where the rest of the disciples were. Brought him to the apostles. Barnabas took him.
They attempted to kill him. Yeah, he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus.
So kind of transforming. In Damascus, they were going to try and kill him, and they let him down through the wall because they were guarding the gates so that when he would go through.
The Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him so the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been an interesting basket. I always think, I'm like, what does the basket look like? Interesting. Anyways.
One other point I noticed in here was that when he came to Jerusalem to the disciples, he tried to join them. They were all afraid. They didn't believe he was a disciple. They thought that he was faking.
Yeah.
He was faking on purpose to catch them and persecute them publicly.
Yeah.
And but Barnabas came and testified for him and said how Saul, what happened to Saul and how in Damascus he was preaching. And so Saul stayed with them and then was moving freely about Jerusalem. The next part, go ahead.
Well, yeah. Then it goes on to they
accepted him.
Yeah, they accepted him. He preached fearlessly, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So the rest of this chapter,
yeah,
Peter ends up healing this man named Aeneas.
Yeah, I guess so.
Who lived in Lydda. And then there was a disciple named Tabitha, or Dorcas in Greek, and she was a good person. She became sick and died. So when they heard that Peter was in Lydda, which was near the town she died in Joppa, they were like, please come here and heal him, or heal Dorcas. And so they went up there and they were all crying, showing all the things she'd made and the robes and other clothing. And so he sent them out of the room. This is Peter still. He got down on his knees and prayed, which I thought was interesting. Was he prayed first, and then turning towards Tabitha said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes and sat up, and then he called for the believers. It says especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. Mm-hmm. And then this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Which, that's cool.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because this is the first account after Jesus is dead, right, that someone's resurrected?
I think so.
I think so as well. Mm-hmm. Don't take our word on it, but I think this is. And Jesus had resurrected, who was it, Lazarus, right?
Yeah. He resurrected a lot of people. And I was just listening to Matthew today, and he resurrected a man's daughter. Another man, he said, because of your faith, your servant has been healed.
Right, but that was just healed. That wasn't resurrected, was it?
I thought so.
I thought it was just healed.
Oh, okay. That's still pretty big, though.
You're like, it's still valid.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's really interesting. I think this is the first time someone's actually is resurrected. And mm-hmm. I don't know. That's kind of a mystery to me. It really doesn't go on about it, except that Dorcas Tabitha had done so much for them that they wanted her back, which seems kind of selfish.
Yeah. But like, I've always low-key wondered about what justifies a resurrection for someone.
Right.
You know, and when do I know if it was their time to go or not, you know? And have I missed an opportunity
to resurrect
someone? And
yeah, it's
I wouldn't know. You know?
I think it's situation.
And so this is what makes me wonder is, you know, it says that Peter went upstairs and then he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And what did he pray? Was it like, okay, God, should I do this right now?
And I think it doesn't give much information on this because it doesn't want people to draw patterns.
Yeah.
Because I think Jesus is he's very consistent about not creating patterns as far as getting things from him in mm-hmm. that sense. You know, like mm-hmm. just pray
how
this
to exploit.
Way.
Yeah.
You know, how to exploit it. Yeah, exactly.
Which is what we talked about in the last chapter, if you remember. Simon the sorcerer.
Yeah, he was
like,
to
hey, how can
it.
I get this ability so
Here's
that
some
I
money.
Can
how do I get
heal,
it? Yeah.
Give people the Holy Spirit? And they're like, no, that's not how this works, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, repent of this. And he's like, okay, pray to the Lord that I don't have this happen to me.
Yeah, Jesus is he seems to be very intent on one exploiting him.
I don't think I'm asking, but I wonder to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as a follower of Jesus, you know, when do I know if I'm supposed to try and resurrect someone? I don't know that I'll ever have that until it's like that moment, I suppose.
Yeah, until he'll give it to you in the moment.
Yeah.
I really believe that, I think. Because, like, there's just really, that just happens. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what? What just happened there? And Jesus is like, yep, and this happens, and this happens.
Yeah. Interesting chapter.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, especially too with Saul's conversion, because he's told go into town, and then while he's in town with the people who were with him, hearing Jesus tell him. He's blind and to go into town and wait for Aeneas or Ananias.
Yeah.
And then he goes there and then Ananias, he tells Ananias which street and which house he's at.
Yeah.
And he goes there and he's like, hey, I'm here. He's like, oh, yeah, Jesus told me you'd be here. And then he heals him.
Yeah.
And then boom, like that's awesome.
Yeah. And then Saul, he doesn't get his name changed, I think, at that point.
No, not yet.
So he keeps going on and preaching fiercely and then just moves on to Peter. Oh, here's Peter now that he's been moved on to Tarsus.
I think the thing with Peter was like, here's a praise report. Like, if we're right and that was the first resurrection since Christ,
Jesus, yeah,
then it's like, oh, this is a big deal.
Yeah. But like at the same time, it's just kind of brushed over. It's not given too much coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's very interesting to me, the Bible, in that sense, and like especially Acts. It's very just information.
Yeah.
You know? And then this happened. And then this happened.
By the way, this happened.
By the way,
what?
Dorcas, Tabitha, was raised from the dead. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Very interesting chapter. Worth reading. I don't know that I have any overarching themes or anything to draw out from that. Some of you guys probably do, in which case, do share them, because we would love to know. But anyways, that is the Acts segment. Thank you for following along, and we'll be back next week with another chapter. You're welcome.
I have heard a statement around, and I've even said a statement around before I was a Christian about how God just doesn't seem to want us to have any fun, dude. He took all the good stuff and was like, no, don't do that. Which we've talked about a little bit before about how, you know, our kind of view of what fun is just a piece of what God really made as good. You know, we've kind of mentioned that before, and we just scrape the top off and say, oh, this is enough. And this other bit that God designed us to do isn't what we need.
It'll give you temporary happiness rather than fullness.
So we've talked about that, but you know, I even want to talk about how things are kind of better in less quantity. And you know, like I can drink little and it's still good. I don't
Are you saying you drink, Eli?
But I don't have to be blackout drunk to have fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't have to drink at all to have fun. You know? I just thought that's a good thing to look at, for me especially. But something, there was this song, it was more of a spoken word thing than a song. I think it's in parentheses called A Meditation by a band called The Liturgists. It's called Vapor. I think I sent
that
to you, right?
Yeah, you sent that to me. I've listened to it a couple
There's
times.
A line where they talk about how short the human lifespan is, and they talk, it's a very interesting listen, if you haven't heard it. But essentially there's a part in there about how we like Christmas because it only happens one time a year, not in spite of that. Yeah, sometimes we're like, oh, I wish Christmas was every day. That way we'd all feel so great every day of the year. But the truth is, Christmas is special because we only have it the one day a year. Mm-hmm. And another line in there was how young parents treasure their time with their young kids that they just had because they know eventually that time's going to go away. Not in spite of that, like, oh, I'm going to have fun right now because, oh my, I can't believe this is going to go away.
Yeah.
You know, they treasure it and they love it because you know, our time on earth is so short. And that's why we love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'd say that I feel that way about a lot of things I enjoy that I think God's given us. Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah, I don't need a lot of it to enjoy myself. I don't need to take the little bit that is sinful and use that instead. And, you know, some things, even though we wish we had more of it, it won't actually make it better. This is something actually C.S. Lewis talks about in some of the sci-fi series he did. It was, and this is a mature theme, whatever I'm talking about right now, but one of the main character talks to some of the creatures on a different planet that God created and said, wait, you guys don't just have sex for fun? And they're like, no, we do it to make kids. Yeah, it's enjoyable, but it's enjoyable because we don't do it all the time. No, it's right. a special thing we have.
Yeah.
It's sacred. And he's like, what? And it just blew his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think that sometimes we take that for granted, that, you know, it's special because it'll, like, Christmas is special because it happens one time a year.
It's rare. Yeah.
Yeah. You did it. You made it to the end. This is the end of the podcast episode. Did we say it was going to be shorter? Well, we lied. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, we really do. And
if you're listening now,
it.
You made it to the end, and we're congratulating you.
Real, real claps.
Yeah.
You can count on that.
If you want to keep up with when we post, we're on Instagram at Staying Christian.
We're pretty active on there.
Yeah. And if you want to send us a email, we're at stayingchristian@gmail.com. But other than that, we'll see you guys next time, I guess.
Yep.
Thank you for listening. Hopefully we weren't complete trash.
As per always, we put that hope out yeah. there.
We do ask God to hopefully do something with what we say and the things we came up with. I think usually he does, but if not, feel free to write us an email.
Right, or DM us.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you again. Stay real, guys.
Stay Christian.
Bye.
Bye.
Ching!
And we'll see you in the next one. Okay, cool.
It's like Stitch.
How? But is your phone 5G?
Samsung better than Apple. You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, no. Please, no, Lozano. I could change. I could be a better man.
You have a son?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Tim.
That's a stupid name.
That's a stupid...
Wrong answer.
I knew it was Johnny. I don't think we're making 15 minutes. I think I talked for like 10 minutes just there.